You're listening to Filling Seats, the State of Enrollment Marketing in Higher Ed, hosted by StudentBridge. In this podcast, you'll learn what's working to grow, shape, and sustain enrollment at colleges and universities directly from fellow enrollment marketers, thought leaders, and ed tech innovators. Listen in for proven strategies to fill seats this cycle and beyond. Welcome to episode 27 of Filling Seats. In this episode, you'll hear from Lindsay Nyquist, who is the Director of Marketing and Communications at Fort Lewis College. Fort Lewis College is a small public liberal arts college in Durango, Colorado. You'll hear her discuss how their remote location plays a role in their in-person and virtual visit strategy, how they convey authentic student voices through their social content and enrollment messaging, and what their relationship is like with admissions and campus administration. Let's meet Lindsay.
My career thus far has really been always focused on youth development and education. And that's been through a variety of different industries. So I went to school back east at the University of Delaware, but started coming out to Colorado for the summers to work at a summer camp and ended up working there throughout my college career and then got a full-time job there after college and really just learned to love and learned to appreciate the value that you can get from taking young children and young adults out of their normal element and into the outdoors. And so when I stopped working there, I got a job at Fort Lewis College. So I've actually been here for 15 years through a variety of different positions. I started as the testing center coordinator and then moved partially over into marketing and then full-time into marketing. When I finished my graduate degree, got my master's in higher ed administration from Drexel. And then moved into a social media coordinator position in 2011. And that was the first position of that kind at Fort Lewis. And then from there, moved on to director of digital communication and then director of the department. So have seen a lot of different sides of the college, but really the focus has always been on helping youth, helping underserved populations see the value of a degree.
Tell me a little bit about your current role and how you would describe Fort Lewis College.
Fort Lewis College is a small public liberal arts institution that is located in Southwest Colorado. So a very sort of sleepy mountain town, but we absolutely love it. It's where the mountains meet the desert and the Animas River runs through town. It's an absolutely beautiful place to live and exist. We really focus on small classroom sizes, experiential education. We have about 35-50 students, so we're right around in the mid-3000s level. So we are a small institution, but what's really unique about our school is that our diversity, almost 60% students of color, and a lot of that is made up from our Native American population because we have a Native American tuition waiver that supports our Indigenous populations. So it's really incredible. We have over 180 tribes represented on campus in a small and unique area. It's just really cool to see that cultural heritage that everyone's bringing so much different and interesting backgrounds. And we just really celebrate that on campus. My role is the Director of Marketing and Communications. So I oversee a team of about 12, and we handle all the marketing comms for the institution. We are a centralized department overall. So we handle web, print, media relations, photography, videography, social media, advertising, and probably a few other things.
Tell me a little bit about your relationship with the enrollment and admissions folks on your campus and really how that all works.
It's a very close relationship. We have to be, right? There's no way to not work closely between admission and marketing. Currently, I'm actually serving as supervisor for a couple of the subdepartments within admission. So I'm overseeing campus visits and admission communications right now. So I'm diving in even deeper than I have before, which is cool. But historically, just had a really close relationship with the director of admission so that we can collaborate. We're trying to achieve the same goals. So it's really important that we're in lockstep on everything. Enrollment management, I think, also steps into the current student part of things. So we've just brought on some student communication specialists that are helping us make sure that we're really getting to our current students so that we can help with those retention efforts in addition to the recruitment efforts that we see on the admission side.
I find it really interesting that you're overseeing staff members in the admissions office who oversee visits and communication. What have you learned about the world of enrollment and admissions through this time and even prior to it?
I think I've just always been impressed with how complex admissions is. In marketing, it might be a little more straightforward. Either we initiate projects and we carry them through, or projects are requested of us and we carry them through. But admission is looking at everything from the recruit side, the processing, which is all the behind the scenes technical stuff that I think a lot of people overlook, the visits, which is just another piece of sales, comms, and then in the office staff, there's just such a different vibe there. It's also, for the most part, a younger staff. So a lot more, there's just a lot of fun there. There's a lot of extroversion, a lot of enthusiasm. And it's a really fun group to work with. I absolutely love the marketing team. And this is just another equally fun and different group of people to work with. So I've learned so much. And I think most of what I've learned is how much I don't know. I've worked in this role as director for probably 5 years and have been closely linked with admission throughout that. And now I'm learning things every day that I didn't even know were going on behind the scenes.
Tell me a little bit about your school's enrollment goals.
So our overall enrollment goal is to reach around 3,700 students. Right now, we're a little bit below that, but I think we're very conscious about setting reasonable enrollment goals so that we're not getting away from who we are. So core to the Fort Lewis College mentality and who we really are as an institution is that small individualized experience. We have a really incredible undergraduate research program here, and a lot of our students get these opportunities to do undergraduate research that would never happen at a larger institution or an R1 or a flagship. And so we really want to stay true to that individualized experience. And that's what a lot of why students come here, is they want to make sure that they're building those individual relationships with faculty and they're getting personalized support when they need it.
Was that 3,700 goal, is that like a next year goal? Is that incrementally over the next couple of years?
Actually, our enrollment rose multiple times throughout COVID, which was really amazing. Right now we're plateauing a bit, but I think there's still opportunity for growth and we're still moving towards that.
Where do you place the importance of visits within the overall enrollment strategy?
Visits are incredibly important to us. And I think most institutions would say that. Because of our location, I feel like it's even more important for us. We just live in this mountain paradise. And once people see our location, they absolutely love it. So one thing that we also want to make sure that we're very clear about is this is not a big city area. Durango is a town of about 17,000 people and the county is about 50,000. So it's a little more remote than maybe some people are used to. But I think it's just this beautiful experience for students to have. When people walk onto campus for that first campus tour, I think it really blows them away. Our team does a great job of really highlighting their beautiful facilities, but also just these amazing views of the La Plata's right from campus and how our curriculum interacts with the outdoors. It's a really important part of the Fort Lewis College curriculum is what we call powered by place. We're very attached to our location here, and that represents in a variety of ways. So that can be everything from our physical location in Southwest Colorado to the cultural landscape that's around here with lots of different cultures coming together. And also the economic landscape of being in a small town, but in a really interesting area. I think that's just what really truly sets us apart from other institutions.
So you said that enrollment grew during the pandemic, which is amazing. And you also said that visits are really important to your enrollment strategy. So what did you do during the pandemic to showcase your place, the city, the campus in a virtual environment?
Because we're in an area that's not near a major city, that's something that we always deal with. We have a lot of students from Alaska. We regularly have students from all 50 states. So even despite the pandemic, we're always looking for ways to virtually represent what our institution has to offer. One of those is definitely Student Bridge. So we signed on with Student Bridge, I believe, summer 2020. And that's been a great opportunity for us to showcase both the video view book and what it's like to be on a small campus. So we like that a lot. And then another great opportunity for us has been the College Tour, which is a TV show that started. It airs on IMDb TV. But we were actually episode one, season one of the College Tour. So we were the first episode that they did. And so it was a huge leap of faith on our part. They had never done this before. We met the producers and were really impressed by them right away. But hope that this would work out. And now I believe College Tour is on season 8 and have profiled so many different institutions. And they just do such a great job of highlighting our students as individuals. That was a really important thing to us from day one, was making sure that our students felt comfortable, that they were represented appropriately and culturally. And so we were just really impressed with how the college tour did that. And then to combine those two pieces, the college tour does 3-minute videos on different topics. And those are the videos that we actually use on our Student Bridge virtual viewbook. So those pieces all connect together to form this really robust piece of digital content that helps people understand what it's like to attend school here.
How are you now balancing both virtual and in-person?
We're definitely not doing as many virtual events as we were back in COVID times, but otherwise it's honestly the same way that we approach our students. We try to meet people where they are. So whatever works for them to get to understand the institution, that's how we want to support them. So we'd love to have everyone be able to get here, but geographically and financially, that's not possible for every student. So we're really happy to serve them the virtual options that we have available, but we'd love to have every single person come here with their families.
What is a technology that's making an impact for your school?
We've just started a digital advertising campaign that's pretty sort of enterprise level, I think. So in the past, I've always managed multiple campaigns myself. We would hire out piecemeal different things, you know, advertising in a high school and then a TikTok campaign. And over the last year, I really realized that we need to be more strategic and we need to look at how all of those pieces work together. So we did an RFP over the summer and started working with Advance 360, and they're running a sort of year-round digital campaign for us to help get students both for fall 23, but also for students further out in the pipeline so that we're really building up our sophomores and our juniors into our listing.
I'm going to make an assumption that your leadership is really supportive of you and gives you funding for initiatives that you need. Is that accurate?
It is. And I feel so grateful for that. It's funny, whenever I go to conferences and I'm talking to people, those are some of the things that I really extra appreciate about my colleagues. One is that I get tremendous support from the upper administration, and the other is that we work so well and so closely with admission. So I think our current leadership just really understands the value of marketing and understands how fierce the competition is out there, and that students aren't just going to stumble here on their own. And they're just not going to know how amazing it is here just because they believe in us. We really have to work hard to tell that story and to get it in front of the right audiences.
Your leadership already sees the value in what you do and the things that you're trying to do, and they support you and give you the money that you need to do that.
Absolutely. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. We get that support, but we continue to deliver on it. So my team creates incredible content and distributes it. And then that proves the value of what we're doing. And so we continue to get those resources.
Tell me a little bit more about the marketing channels that you rely on most. So you talked about your really robust digital ad campaign. What are some other marketing channels that y'all rely on?
The digital advertising, I think, is just foundational at this point. This is just the expectation that we have. We need to be getting out there in front of new eyes. But once people get a little further in the funnel, we do an in-house campaign where we're serving ads based on where they are in the funnel and slate. So if a student has filled out part of their application, they might see an ad that encourages them to complete it. So that's one piece of it. And then really we're looking at other ways to have as close to one-on-one conversations as we can. So Zeemee is a new app that we just signed on with last year that's been incredibly successful for us. In the last several months, we've often been in the top 5 of colleges across the country that are having really engaging and robust conversations on that platform. And that's exciting. And it's a really interesting one for us because Zeemee, we don't promote Zeemee so much as students are already there. And then we give them the opportunity to speak with other prospective students on that channel. So I think so often we wait until students have been admitted or have applied, and Zeemee gets them at that prospective stage so they can start having those conversations earlier and earlier, and it helps encourage that decision to apply rather than waiting until they've already made the decision and then reinforcing it. So that one's been really interesting. I think email marketing and text campaigns are another really common way where we're reaching out to students and trying to provide that one-on-one support that they need. So anything from sending targeted emails that detail exactly what that individual student needs to do to complete their application, to hosting live chat sessions where students can ask individual questions from our counselors.
What is something that your team is doing differently?
I think part of it is we just have a good time. We love our jobs. We have so much fun coming to work and being a part of this team. I just feel incredibly lucky that I have such a talented team that are just people I want to be around all day. So that's a big part of it. I think what you said before about us being empowered and supported by the administration, it allows us to be agile and responsive and so that we can deal with things as they come up. And another thing that we do that I really love is we rely a lot on students for content and for input. When I hear other institutions talking about how they work with students, it seems like it's often still really locked down. Like they'll let a student make a piece of content, but then it has to get vetted by three different people before it can go live. We're a little more free with that. And I think that leads to better content and more authentic content, which is what this generation wants to see.
By that, do you mean that you're giving students like full access to social media accounts and letting them create and post all in the same day?
Yeah. So we have a full-time social media coordinator who also does some design work, but she has a team of interns. And it's not like we do that on day one, but once they've proven themselves, they understand the brand, they understand who they're connecting with, and they can use grammar and spelling properly, then we really open it up. And it's just so fun because, you know, it does take some of the stress off of our staff, our professional staff, from having to attend every event and cover it. And it also just gets students excited about what's going on campus, and it gets that a little bit more of that student vibe. We've been really doing this since, so I was the first social media coordinator in 2011. So we've had a person in this position for more than 10 years now. And I've had interns, really empowered interns, almost the whole time. And it very rarely goes bad. And I think a lot of schools are really worried about giving up that level of control, which I totally understand, but we've had a lot of success with.
We'll be right back.
Want to know exactly how peer institutions are increasing enrollment? Check out three case studies in the show notes featuring three schools who've grown enrollment consistently over the past several years, including a private liberal arts college in Illinois, a small public school in Nebraska, and a large public institution in Georgia. Or visit studentbridge.com/resources to see how other institutions achieve more, like increasing campus tour numbers, engagement, yield, and beyond.
As someone who was the first one in the role more than a decade ago, which I'm going to guess that probably back then you were like scheduling tweets and Facebook posts and Hootsuite. And then now, you know, there's TikTok, there's Instagram stories, all these different things. What do you think about the changes and where social media has gone?
I love this question. The thing that I've seen change most significantly since the early days of social media is it used to be a new app would show up and we'd have to figure out if we were going to adopt or not. Do we want to be an early adopter or do we not? Even Instagram before it was bought out by Facebook, right? So we would think about that. And once it had gotten enough followers, we would try to get in, start creating the content. But now what we see is since our tech companies have gotten so big, that doesn't happen as much. Snapchat and TikTok are out there, but at the same time, Facebook's buying out those features or recreating those features pretty quickly. So I think we're seeing a lot fewer independent social media platforms coming up because a lot of times those features will just get wrapped into something we're already using. So in some ways, I think it makes it a lot easier to not have to make those decisions. But then at the same time, the platforms we're using are so much more complex. You're posting on Instagram. Are you posting to the feed or to a story or to a reel or to whatever the newest thing is that just happened today? So I just think it's constantly changing, but that's what's fun about social media is that it doesn't feel like you're definitely not doing the same thing every day. You're always adapting. I think now we also see a lot more trends that did not seem to be quite as big of a deal when I was doing this in the early 2010s and teens. You would just put out the content that you thought needed to be there. And now I think our coordinator is very adept and very dialed in to what's going on. How can we interpret this trend to our own initiative or our own thing that we're trying to push?
The only trend I can remember is that our school account posted a Facebook album of our mascot planking on different things across campus because it was like, oh, the planking trend.
I feel like the planking trend lasted 6 months and now trends last a week. So we have to be incredibly agile and just ready for anything. The other thing that I've seen a lot of is just, this is nothing new, but just video everywhere. So it was a big battle to get a full-time videographer on staff, but now we have a full-time videographer who does mostly horizontal, more like long-form narrative, our social media coordinator's very adept in vertical video for social, and then our photographer also shoots video as well. So we have three different people working on video in addition to students, which 6 years ago, you never would have thought that was the case.
And nothing looks more inauthentic and old school to Gen Z than horizontal video in a vertical format.
Oh, it hurts. But and that's such a challenge content-wise, because for Giving Tuesday, for example, which isn't necessarily trying to hit a Gen Z audience quite as much, we had meeting after meeting. How are we going to create all this content about the different initiatives that we're pushing on campus? And do we shoot them vertical and horizontal at the same time? Do we shoot one and cut the other way? It's a real challenge content-wise, but again, it keeps it interesting and we always get to problem solve at work, which I think keeps us dialed, keeps us engaged, and keeps us challenged.
What is something that your school or your team struggles with?
We're very fortunate with resources, but we're a small public liberal institution. We have finite resources and infinite demand is how I think of it. So I'm lucky to have a staff the size that I do for a school this size. But if I got five more people tomorrow, we would absolutely have enough full-time work for all of them. So I think always just trying to, how can we do the most and do the most work that's going to have a positive impact with most effectively using the resources that we have.
Do you have any staffing challenges with your geographic location, and have you considered allowing remote work or something like that for the right person?
Absolutely. So we do have two full-time remote people right now, actually. What's nice is that they both used to work here in person. So we knew them really well. We didn't have to onboard them remotely. They just happen to live somewhere else now. So that works really well. In general, when we're staffing, we want to make sure that people know what they're getting into with working in Durango. It's this beautiful place, but it's mountain town pricing. The cost of living is high, and we want to make sure that people are really committed and excited about living here. And so often I've chosen people that I know are going to be committed to Durango, even if they might not have quite as much textbook experience. And that has worked out so well because it also helps us move from a lot of places only hire other people from higher ed. And we have such a unique staff that has all kinds of different skills from working freelance because that's often what they did before they came here. So I think they're bringing in a lot more corporate background and just individual, innovative, unique opportunities that they've had in their own past. And I can see that being a concern for people, but it's really worked out well for us so far.
Who do you like to follow or learn from?
In higher ed marketing, just colleagues that I meet at conferences. So I just was at the American Marketing Association Symposium on Higher Education. I'm also involved in the Case Commission on Communications and Marketing and their Value of Higher Education Committee. And just seeing other people that are a couple of years further in their career than I am, I've just learned so much. And it's just so great to have contacts like that when things get tough.
What do you see for the future of higher ed marketing?
I mean, that's always the $1 million question, but I think it really comes down to understanding what students want and need. And that's what I'm seeing a lot of in this Value of Higher Education committee that I'm on. How can we be adaptable to serving students what they need now? And we know more and more that those things are changing. That's not always a marketing decision. It's often a curriculum. It's an academic affairs decision. But how do we help gather that information and work with our colleagues in academics to understand what students and the workforce really needs right now, and how do we deliver those products?
There's sometimes this conflict between the reality of what the school offers versus what leadership wants to convey that the school offers, and marketing really gets stuck in the middle there. So you're absolutely right that serving students what they need in form of curriculum, but also in the form of messaging and telling them exactly what they're in for.
It always comes back to authenticity. If we're not accurately representing what this college is offering, then what are we doing? So if we get students here and we're misrepresenting who we are, they're going to leave. And then it's not great for our retention numbers. They're not great for students' bank account if they're accruing debt for a degree they didn't earn. So I think a lot of responsibility rests on us to make sure that we're accurately representing what this institution is all about and the great things that we have to offer them. And then making sure that we match with students that are going to be really happy here and that are going to grow and be challenged here and that are going to graduate and go on to become successful alumni.
And how do you convey that message or that authenticity?
Part of it comes from student-generated content, whether that's our interns or students that just help us out. being connected to students, walking around campus and listening to what students say. I'm eating in the dining hall a couple of days a week. I think you get so much from actually being out there with them. And I think occasionally as you get into higher level administrative roles, it's really easy to distance yourself from students, which is the worst thing we can do. We need to make sure that most of us got into this role and into this industry because we care about working with youth and we want to be a part of that. And when we get far away from who that is, we can't be as successful at what we do.
What is an app or a marketing tool that you could not live without?
My number one right now is Lytho, L-Y-T-H-O, which is our project management tool. I'm in there probably 50% of most days. It's where we accept requests coming in from different areas on campus. It's how we manage every single project and track success and completion. And it's where we keep all communication about every project as it's going on, as well as the files related to it.
And if you could go back 5 to 10 years and give yourself advice, what would it be?
That's always a fun question. I don't tend to regret much. It's not really my personality. I like to sort of bulldoze through and keep going. But what I am always happy that I've done is taken big steps. So I take steps before I'm ready for them. I took this role when I was in no way prepared for it, and it's how I grew into it. And I don't think I would have made it as far if I wasn't trying to do that. So that's what I really encourage my staff and my colleagues and my friends to do, is take steps even though you're not ready for them. Put yourself out there. It's better to fail forward than to just sit comfortably and let things go pass you by.
If someone wants to connect with you, how can they do that?
The best way would be to find me on LinkedIn. It's Lindsay Nyquist, LindsayNyquist. I'd love to meet more colleagues and talk about any of the things we talked about today.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Thanks for the opportunity.
This is the Filling Seats podcast, hosted by StudentBridge, where we help enrollment teams achieve more by fusing authentic storytelling with industry-leading technology and personalized digital experiences. If you're looking to attract more, amaze more, and achieve more, visit studentbridge.com. To connect with this episode's guest, check out the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. For more information about the podcast or to let us know you'd like to be a guest, visit studentbridge.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.